Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back of the net. They scramble for it. Zikov tries to bank it out in front. The Bruins punch it over to the near side, and the horn sounds. The Boston Bruins, for the first time in 18 years, have started the regular season with three consecutive wins. Rask now just getting up. He was gassed, tested late, but the Bruins victorious on the road in Vegas by a final of 4-3.
All right, it's Felger and Maz here on a Wednesday. I thought, Maz, I don't know if you concur or not, but I thought we'd start the first hour of the program with stuff other than the Patriots in the NFL.
Oh, I like it.
Okay, so on the docket will be a Celtics thought that I've been harboring since the weekend. We'll get to that. On the docket will be the fact that the Red Sox are soon to be run by robots or in the process of being taken over by robots. That will be on the docket. We're going to give you information on how you can win free Patriots tickets. That's on the docket. You definitely want to stay tuned for that. Murray's got something for us all. Just a quick thought on the Bruins before we start it all. And you can call us on all those things if you want to talk about something about other than the Patriots in the NFL. I know you hockey Krishnas, you yearn for a little bit of time other than the NFL shoved down your throat. So here it is. So if you want to discuss any of these items, now is your time at 617-779-0985. Bruins last night in Vegas, their start so far this season, Maz. Your thoughts.
Okay, so coming into this year, I think when you weighed out all the elements, that it was impossible to look at it and not feel, at least in my mind, that the Bruins were going to get off to some sort of bumpy start. The hangover from the Stanley Cup, the short off season, all of the above. And I know Bruce Cassidy has said over and over, well, you know, our research shows it hits you in the middle of the year more than it does at the beginning. And I thought, yeah, you know, how many times do you give away like a cup like that and survive? Then they open on the road. Two of the three games against Dallas and Vegas, which both in the playoffs last year, people are billing as Stanley Cup hopefuls. Those two teams, or contenders, they go 3-0 in those three games. And last night's really the one that put me over the top, because they go into Vegas, they fall behind 2-0 right out of the gate, and I go, here it comes. Here it comes. They rally, they get back into the game, they go up 4-2, they win the thing 4-3. I say this with all sincerity. I can't tell you how impressed I am right now with their first week. It's only 1 week, and they've scored 7 goals in 3 games. Okay, so a couple of those were tight. But overall, for them to come out and win these 3 games, especially the one last night, the way they did, down 2-0 right out of the chute, I mean, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I am impressed.
Yeah, they look very motivated more than anything else. And I've watched only 2 out of the 3, and I got to be honest, I fell asleep by the third period last night. But hell of a game. I was like, Maz, you know, those 2 goals in a matter of like 2.5 minutes by Vegas earlier. I was like, oh, all right, it's going to catch up with them. They got the Vegas flu. But no. And resilient. I mean, there was a number of guys that had great nights last night. But one player, maybe more than anyone else, stood out to me, and that was Torrey Krug. Because he played like he was shot out of a cannon. I've been hard on him, I think rightfully so, like most people, about his lack of defensive attributes. But his play defensively last night was awesome. He was absolutely awesome on that end. But overall, these 3 games, hell of a start. And I think it also speaks to what you said last week, and I hadn't heard anyone else say it until you said it. They were so much better off starting the season on the road.
Yeah, get out
like
of here.
2,000, 3,000 miles away, Bond, find yourselves, get motivated early, and you know, you're not around this funk that still feels like it was hanging over the city as they started the season last week. But it was great.
Yeah, I don't know how you can't be impressed. It's just, and it's so, we got 4 billion miles to go. And I guess in the long run, it means nothing. But just, you know, here we are three games in, and you guys call for what it is. I'm impressed, too. And especially last night. I mean, 2-0 inside of whatever that was, 5-6 minutes, and it's like, you know, here you go. You get their doors blown off. You get run out of the building. And came right back in that period, 4 unanswered, and just the whole response slash approach. I mean, that first line, which had a real bad go of it in the finals, could say lost you the finals. I think that Bergeron line lost you the finals, lost you the Stanley Cup. They come out in the first two games and are sort of picking up right where they left off, and that's not a good thing. You know, picked up where they left off in a bad way, and they won't let it stand. Like that's not good enough for them, and they came out super motivated last night, and those three were just terrific, like you read about, on all ends. And the team's got a certain thing. They've got a certain thing about them, and they really got it the day Cassidy took over, and it hasn't gone away. And I think that just bodes well for them. I can't tell you what's going to happen this year. It's still a long way to go, and the odds are, you know, way against them. But I don't know. Maybe the first week is any indication. They got a little something that's worth fighting through. They really do.
I mean, I don't know how you don't like it. And again, last night was, there were a couple of those goals that you just went, oof, boy, those are pretty. That pass Marchand made to Pastrnak on the first goal right between the guy's legs, absolutely tremendous. And if possible, the second one from Pastrnak to Marchand was even better.
The indirect pass off the sideboards was just through three zones. That thing was unbelievable.
It was like air hockey.
Tremendous.
That's what it was. It was like banking it off the side in air hockey, for crying out loud. It was unreal.
That's a good team they played in a hard place to play.
So I forgot to, like, I know people talk up Vegas, and I always thought Vegas, you know, that first year overachieved. I forgot all the players they've added
it's
over
a
there.
Real team. A real, you know, team in a real tough environment, and that easily could have been a, all right, we'll see you next night kind of game.
I mean, Stone, I remembered. Obviously, they picked him up at the end of last year. I forgot they had Pacioretty.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're a wagon.
Yep, they're a Stanley Cup favorite. They're one of the top 3-4 teams. I gave you the power rankings last week. They were right in there with you. For what it's worth, that's a nice start by the Bruins. Yeah, did I hear Hardy say just now that it's their best start in 18 years?
Yeah.
They haven't gone 3-0 in 18 freaking years?
Yeah, since like 2002, yeah.
Well, they got one more to go, and then you got a real nice road trip to start the year, which I don't know if we were expecting. Okay, that's item number one. We'll get to the Celtics in a little bit. How about the fact that the Red Sox are being taken over by robots, Maz? We've all read this Alex Speer story in the Globe. I'll give you details here coming up. But long story short, one of the reasons Dana Lavangi is out, and one of the pitching coach, Dana Lavangi, is out, and one of the big issues on the team is they tried to really, like they haven't already apparently, but I guess they hadn't, really modernize their scouting when it comes to pitching and game planning with their pitching staff through analytics, to the point where they bring their own servers on the road. I don't even really know what that means, but it means, boy, you must need a lot of gigabytes.
Hardware.
You need a lot of computer space.
Carmine weighs in on everything.
So they're bringing, like, not just Carmine, but double-stacked Carmine. They need fans to cool it off.
Carmine actually sits on the draft table in the war room.
Thank you. To present the scouting reports to the pitchers. And they tried to really integrate this year. Lavangi and the baseball people not really on board with it because they're baseball people, not computer nerds. And long story short, in the Spears story, that there was more time spent arguing between the nerds and the baseball staff, the uniform people, the Lavangi staff. There was more spent time arguing between the nerds and the pitching coaches than there were actually coaching the pitchers. And this is part of the reason Lavangi's out. They're going to bring in a nerd to be the pitching coach, and so they're all on the same page, etc. Your thoughts on the story?
I mean, I can't tell you how alarming I found the whole thing, and on multiple levels. Number one being that while we're still at the stage, really, where there's that much infighting between the baseball people and the staff people, like I knew there was at the beginning. We're now how many years past Moneyball?
Right.
20? 20 years past Moneyball?
And not just that. Remember the first big story that we looked at and said, oh my God, what's going on here? Do you remember when Duquette brought in Statman?
Yes, yes. And there was Mike Gimble.
Yeah, Mike Gimble, right. There's the front page story, Statman. And we all went, oh my God, what are they doing? That was like 25 years ago.
Yeah, it was in the mid-90s.
We're still doing this.
Yeah, yeah. And so again, that's number one, that, wow, they had that kind of infighting. There were people digging in their heels that much on that whole issue. I found that a little bit surprising. And then also the details that they're going to now, And again, I'm getting into like specific spin rates. And I admit, a lot of this we knew. Spin rate, curveballs, blah, blah, blah. When I saw the word TrackMan appear in that story, I went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I knew it was something like this. And maybe this goes to the fact that I've now experienced TrackMan firsthand at the golf ranch.
Core Golf, yes.
Okay, I did. I went to that Core Golf facility, and they did it. It gives you spin rate, angle of approach, everything, down to every detail. So they are literally taking this data and this video and looking at it to the point of, well, you get this guy out with a slider, but it has to be this kind of slider, not that kind of slider. So Heath Hembree can get him, but this guy can't. And it's micromanaging to the nth degree.
They're sort of throwing traditional splits out the window and looking more at your spin rate versus their swing path.
Right, exactly. So what you're playing really is a computer game.
Yes, correct.
Sale's fastball was even slower than it appeared. 92.3 miles per hour actual versus 91.3 perceived. That's all due to releasing it closer to the plate. But he still takes too long in between pitches. Fix it.
So there's Carmine. So they bring this guy on the road, this computer on the road, and Lavangi says, well, I've looked at the video. I see the splits. I want to approach it this way. The nerds say, well, the spin rate versus their swing path would say, do this, not that. And they're arguing with each other, the nerds and the baseball coaches. And meanwhile, the pitchers are sitting there with their Schmenzer in their hand, and no one's talking to them because the people are too busy arguing with each other, the coaches and the nerds.
Can't you just see, like, the Norman Rockwell picture of that? The two guys arguing, the pitcher in between flipping the ball up in the air, like, you know, waiting for someone to give him an answer on what the hell he's supposed to do. Like, the whole thing to me is like, I went, oh, my God. Oh, my God, is this what's going on now? Is this it? Has it reached this level?
Okay, so.
David Price is a bitch. Trade him.
So that, and we'll give you more details on the story. I have a Celtics talk coming up for you. The first hour, we'll give you what you want non-football related. But we are going to give you Patriots tickets today. Okay, at 4:30, a couple weeks ago, over the years, we've just told you what time and given away the tickets. A couple weeks ago, I made the mistake of trying to do something to keep you tuned in between now and the time we give them away. It turned into the phrase that pays, and it really was a mistake on my part.
The phrase that pays.
So now Murray's really punishing us, and me, really, because now he's just, well, now we have new ideas, different ideas.
Well, it's really not.
Go ahead.
It's not true, Mike.
Entertaining.
We were hoping to give away a pair of tickets for tomorrow night's game between the Patriots and Giants, but you guys aren't going to believe this. The tickets are gone. Apparently, last night, someone broke into our program director's office. They broke into Mike Thomas's office, and they stole the tickets. Toucher and Rich had a pair. Zoe and Beadle had a couple of pairs. And the pair we had, gone, stolen. Nobody knows who took them. It's sad, really. And we have to figure out who stole those tickets. Jimmy, what? The hotline's ringing. Did we have a guest planned? We usually don't have guests here on Felger MS. Hello.
You want to answer, Jim?
Yeah. Sports Hub. Hello. Who's this?
Hey, you three idiots. Where'd your tickets go?
Oh,
here they are with me. The Felger and Maz 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots ticket fugitive.
Oh, no.
So if you want these tickets, you need to keep listening or just keep watching on the simulcast so you can see Maz's bald head keep glistening.
Who was
that? That wasn't necessary.
Yeah, not at all. Rude. That's who stole our tickets. We're not going to let who that is get away with stealing our tickets. The Felger and Maz 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots ticket fugitive. This is unbelievable. I don't know. I hope they call back between now and when we were supposed to give them away. 4:30. This is terrible. I can't believe someone would do that and steal our tickets.
Huh. So I don't get the bit. You're just in charge.
Of course you don't. Because here's the thing. We've given away these Patriots tickets by mocking some of the hackiest contests in all of radio. And there isn't a hackier one than the fugitive. From what I understand. But those tickets got stolen. So who knows? Maybe we'll hear back from the fugitive between now and 4:30. I hope so. Because we got to give away those tickets.
I kind of like it. So it's so bad, it's good.
Well, I still don't get it. But
What normally happens, Mike, at some of these top 40 stations is someone breaks into the program director's office and steals, say, $5,000. Can you imagine? And then that fugitive calls in at different times, like 8:20 in the morning, 10:20 during the midday, 3:20, all of those times you know you're going to have that real TSL, the time spent listening. So it's It's happened before, and now it struck us here at the Sports Hub. It's unbelievable.
Do people need to keep listening to if they want to win the tickets?
Yes.
Okay, so tell them that. Just do the thing then.
Yeah. If you want to win the tickets, I would just keep listening to Felger and Maz between now and 4:30, because the fugitive might call back, I would think.
And he has the information for your tickets.
He or she. Yes. I would think they would have the information for
don't
those tickets.
Don't rule out the women.
Okay. Right.
I really don't get it.
It's a disguised voice.
Okay, so there you go. I think if you just tune in at 4:30, you're not going to be able to win the tickets. You got to listen in between,
yes.
I think. Okay, we'll continue with your thoughts right after this.
Commiserations on the 2019 season.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Here comes Shea Theodore, center circle. He'll flip it in, cut off by Pastrnak. Indirect off the wall. Marchand into the left circle. Walks in, shoots, he scores! How about the pass and then the finish from Marchand? His second tally of the night. 3-2 Bruins.
What a shot here from Marchand. He's going to get behind the defense up the left wing side, and it's an indirect pass. Indirect off the boards, poor dump in that time by Theodore, and then he's the guy that gets caught up, and it goes indirect off the boards, and there's Marchand to rip it far side, past the glove hand side. He comes down the left wing, off the post and in, over the glove of Marc-Andre Fleury. And the pass up the ice. Marchand connects, going wide. What a shot.
What a pass. But just those guys. They had sucked the first two games. They sucked in the cup finals. And like the two games of sucking in the regular season weren't good enough for them. But you could tell those guys had a hair across their ass all night. Like, that's kind of impressive. I don't know. There's a competitiveness on that team. And I know, you know, the thing to say then is, well, where was that competitiveness in Game 7? I've heard too many people say they didn't show up in Game 7. I think you have it wrong. They didn't. They showed up. And they controlled the beginning of Game 7. And then St. Louis scored on their second shot and had 2-on-4 shots. And then they puckered up. It wasn't because they didn't want it or they didn't show up. It's because they got tight. And they were too amped or whatever. It's like, and I just think that's a competitive team that cares. And like, they got that quality to them. And I think you're seeing it in the first three games. Kind of impressive.
I mean, last night's a big one. Again, they were down 2-0 right out of the chute. How many minutes into the game? 4?
Easily could have been run out of the building.
Oh, God. I thought it was coming. I said, forget it. They're done. Then they got the next one. Again, it was a great pass by Marchand to Pastrnak. He redirected it in, basically. And then they tied it. And I went, whoa. Whoa. Like, let alone go up 4-2.
So we have that. We have the Red Sox being taken over by robots. We'll get to the Celtics as well. Your thoughts on all of this to start the show. Nate in Manchester on the Bees. Go.
So I think they set the precedence early that, like, there's no hangover, right? And I kind of took it upon myself. I looked at the schedule. They go out west again at the end of the year for the last, like, 6 games. So they don't go any further than Detroit until, like I said, at the end of March. And I just don't think there's any reason that this team has an excuse to not make another cup run, because if they stay healthy, they don't have any long road trips. And another point on top of that is, like, I kind of feel this might be the last year of David Krejci, because if one of these young guys pop and they come out of the gate and they feel like they can do without him, I think it's probably the year that you trade him.
Yeah, I thought it should have been before that, but side topic, the road trips, what does that matter? I mean, just it's be above the playoff line, and once you get there, how do you match up and how do you play? They needed a fast start because their schedule before Thanksgiving is a killer. And if they wanted to be hungover and give into it, they could have gotten buried in the first. They can. They still can. That ain't over. I mean, I just three games. But this West Coast trip, three of the four teams could be in the Stanley Cup.
Exactly.
People got Colorado, Vegas, and Dallas right there. You've got two or three games with Toronto before Thanksgiving. You've got St. Louis before Thanksgiving. You've got a couple with Montreal before Thanksgiving. You've got at least one with Tampa, maybe two with Tampa before Thanksgiving. Your pre-Thanksgiving schedule's killer. And if they came out with their feet in the sand, they could get buried. And you know, if you get too far behind, it's hard to make it back. So I think they had to start on time, and they did. It's kind of impressive, actually. Steve in Boston on the Red Sox and the analytics. Yes, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I just want to let you guys know, you're a little misinformed about what they use in that particular track, man. I kind of work in the field, and it's not about like spin rate and stuff. What it's being used for is to stop injuries. What we usually do is we...
No, you know, Steve, before I stop you, that's not what the story indicates. You want me to read you what's in the story? Here's what it says. He says, this is Alex Spiro, the game is changing rapidly to account for the incredible volumes of information now available thanks to the introduction of precise data from TrackMan systems via StatCast. StatCast offers data about millions of pitches, precise shapes and velocities, and spin rates in very, very specific locations that dwarfs what one individual can evaluate in preparation for a game. Information about a hitter's struggles against curveballs in 0-2 counts might be irrelevant, depending on the specific shape and velocity of a pitcher's curveball and where that pitcher typically can execute it.
I mean, that's the paragraph that, to me, last night when I read it, that sent me over the edge.
Nothing about injuries, Steve. I'm sorry, man. It's about the shape of...
Nathan Eovaldi throws 104, but only when his arm angle is at 3/4. So sit on that and spin, bitch.
Steve, so what they're doing is they're looking at the trajectory of someone's swing path versus the trajectory of someone's pitches, and they're putting that and superposing against each other and throwing out what a hitter does 0-2, what a hitter does with runners in scoring position, what a hitter's specific matchup numbers against a specific pitcher. They're doing that thing. That's what the story indicates.
And they're taking, again, specific, like, for let's just say Zach Greinke's slider versus Justin Verlander's. Still there. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to explain to you. Yes, they look at what a pitcher, how he does the same delivery over and over again, and they see if they're putting too much torque on certain areas.
Okay, Steve, I'm just going to cut you off. That's not in the story. So maybe, but if you want to write another story about the trainers doing that, fine. This is about game planning and getting pitchers out. That's what's in the story. That's what we're talking about. That sort of get frustrated, but that's not the focus of the story. It's not why Lavangie's gone. It's about him bickering with the nerds over the game plans for his pitchers. That's what the story's about.
I mean, again,
and that's not my story. That's Alex Spear's story.
Yeah, look, and Alex is on this stuff. This is the stuff that it interests him in great detail, and he gets into great detail of this story.
So look,
as I was saying,
yeah, I'm sorry.
Greinke's slider versus Verlander's. Okay, if the ball's dropping an inch more on one of those guys versus the other, the TrackMan has the ability to say, the one that drops an inch more will get him out. The other one won't. I mean, so Greinke's slider, no good.
And Lavangie.
I think that sucks.
So listen, Lavangie's considered extraordinary for his ability to watch a game and dissect the strengths and weaknesses of both pitchers and hitters. However, the game is moving in a different game planning direction. It's the StatCast stuff that I was talking about. Alex writes that the Red Sox front office wanted to utilize that broader data set. Late in 2018, their catchers started using wristbands, suggesting how an individual pitcher's stuff could best be employed against a specific hitter. Because the stuff that's coming from these computers, you can't. It's
can't remember it all.
It's different than one for a fastball, two for a curve, and a human brain isn't capable of it. So they now got to write it on their wrists, and that's why you see all these guys going to cards in their back pockets or wrists on their, you know, on their wristbands.
And they were, you know, again, Shaughnessy made this point in one of his columns. They were looking at those cards while warming up. In the bullpen. Like, I just think if it's gotten this deliberate, where's the fun in it? If they're all getting the same information and they all know what the detail is down to that degree, where's the fun? Where's the competition?
On occasion, Lavangie and other members of the staff found their views, Lavangie and other members of the pitching staff, the uniform staff, the baseball staff, found their views running counter to the recommendations of the team's analytics department. Those disagreements at times consumed the energy of the coaches. According to multiple team sources, The staff spent more time this year hashing out disputes amongst themselves than they did in 2018, with the result that there was less time spent working with the players. Oh, great. The baseball coaches and the nerds were at each other's throats. Meanwhile, the pitchers were out there on the field with their thumbs up their ass like, what now? Now, what do you guys
want to spin doctor, Colton Brewer's spin rate, was down by 20% on his curveball this season. That's why he sucked, Mike.
And the pitchers are sitting there saying, what do you want us to do now?
I mean, I'm telling you, it's bad. That's bad. If it's reached that point, it's bad. And look, they're obviously reconstructing the thing, and they're going to go with data. Clearly, that's what they're choosing. But, man, I just look at it and say, talk about taking the fun out of the game.
So let me tell you, I think this stuff works. I think it does. All my ranting against the nerds, I've never said it doesn't work. In fact, I've told you it works. It does work. But, boys, is that the game that you want to be
watching? No, this is what I'm saying. I have no doubt that it works. I mean, again, look at some of the teams that are pulling it off. So I have no doubt that it works. I think it takes the fun out.
It absolutely
does. If it's going to tell you all the time what to do, well, where's the decision-making? Where's the fun?
So we continue with this. Bruins Celtics coming up as well.
Keith Hambree brings anything but heat he brought this season. His fastball spin rate was down 15%. He blows.
Sounds like Maz's AI system. Here's Murray's update. We're right.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink. Plus, they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here, 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
So the analytics in baseball, it works to me. It works. Spit it out, Felger. I never said it didn't work. But what do they call it? Max optimization is not good for the sport. It's just not. It's led to the three true outcomes. Walk, strikeout, home run. That's it. And it's slowed the game down. It's put less balls in play. It's created less action. They're perfecting the pitching, hitting part of it. But everything else has been left to suffer. The game. There's no game anymore. It's pitch and catch.
Oh, isn't it brutal?
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's brutal. And I would also argue that part of the fun in it, part of the fun in the competition, how are we going to get this guy out? How are we going to get him out? How do we set him up? How do we do it? Like, that's the fun part. If you're just going to use some computer printout that gives you all the data, like you're examining someone's blood type, well, what, I mean, now you just have to know how to execute it, right? Like, but you know what the key is. You know how to do it. You just can't execute it. I'd rather try to figure out the puzzle. The puzzle, to me, is the best part of the whole thing.
But if everyone else is doing it and everyone else is having success with it, don't you have to do it?
Of course. Yes, of course. So, again, this is another part of the story now, which is the Red Sox are behind on this? How are they behind?
And I how far could they be? They won the World Series just 2 years ago.
Okay, so that's fair.
But yeah, but again, Dombrowski is an old school baseball guy. Do you think he was one of the guys that was like, no, I don't want anything to do with any of this?
Maybe that's part of the stuff that Henry was talking about. I knew right after the World Series that we weren't a good match going forward. Maybe this was part of it.
Yeah, I do. I wonder about a lot of that. Like, to me, it just raises a lot of questions about what they're going through over there and how it's all working or isn't working.
Because we need to bring in more servers.
The whole thing started in 2018. You know, like you said, the catcher started.
Brazier sucked in 2019 because his max velocity went down by 5.4%. Trade him and his stupid hat.
Yeah, Carmine's got a little attitude. It started in 2018 and they won the World Series and they tried to do more of it in 2019. Cora wanted a member of the analytics staff to travel with the team and be in the clubhouse.
I mean, that's one that I saw and I went, whoa. So that's another one I went, oh boy.
The team hired Jeb Clark as a clubhouse analyst.
Oh. Hey, Jeb.
Here comes the nerd.
Alex Jeb here.
He was taking part in pregame planning meetings. His presence signaled a different way of doing business. And so the nerd and the pitching coaches started bickering all the time. Disagreements on how to attack opposing lineups, arguments that sometimes consume the coaching staff and led to less actual time being spent coaching the players.
Jeff Clark is a greatest shit. Do not mock him.
Ah,
he's a what?
God.
Yeah.
Oh. Asset.
Oh, asset.
That's a that, come on,
asshat.
Carmine working blue back there.
All right, so. Yeah, okay, so that and the Bruins. We'll get to the Celtics here in a second. David Plymouth, what do you got on the Bs?
Guys, watching that game last night, I just kept thinking, if Sweeney really believes this is the last go-around for Krejci, Bergeron, Char, which we all know it is, why doesn't he go get somebody like Mark Stone last year at the trade deadline? You put Mark Stone on the right side with Krejci, and now you've got something.
Okay.
You've got two lines that I believe you can go against Tampa. You can go against Washington and you give them a series.
Okay, I'm Googling Mark Stone contract just so I get my numbers right.
Well, it's huge. Well, he signed an 8-year extension, Mike.
Exactly.
So,
yes. Right. So hold on. I mean, so you would have had to pay the fella. It's 8 years with an AAV of 9.5.
No, I know.
So
I know.
So that wasn't happening. That just wasn't happening.
Tax free in Vegas.
And right, Vegas gave it to him immediately after the so it was all part and parcel with the deal. They had the talent to win it last year. You don't need to go back to Sweeney last year. That's not why they lost. The Johansson pickup was terrific, gave you everything you needed. The Coyle pickup, he was arguably your best player in the playoffs. The team had the talent to win last year. You don't need to go to Sweeney last year. You don't.
And the other thing on
the players failed in games of it.
And the other thing on Stone, let's say you didn't re-sign him. Did the Bruins have the prospects to give up that Vegas gave up? Didn't
no.
Vegas give up some front-end defensemen?
Yes, it's a no. Right, they gave up a guy. Yes, they gave up a stud young defenseman.
Like, who would you have had to give up?
McAvoy? Yes.
So I mean, like, no.
Forget about it. Johansson was plenty good. Was good enough. Now, if this team, seriously, if this team can maintain the edge, and that's what I think is most impressive, I think through three games you've seen the edge, which is encouraging. If they still have the edge, they have the talent to be a deep, deep team. And you get to the trade deadline, let's talk then, okay? But right now, to me, what is determined is, are they going to have the edge and have the motivation enough to have a season and fight through it? And on a very, very short sample, they have. And you should be pleased by that.
I'm impressed. I am. I thought there was no shot of them starting like they have. And I know it's only three games. Last night, that to me felt like the doors were going to get blown off and they came back and won.
Jake in Boston, give me a Celtics thought.
Hey, quickly, one baseball thought. As much as you bemoan data, the humans still screw up. Like last night when the Astros started Verlander on short rest against their own good judgment. And then second, Jaylen Brown has never been afraid of voicing his opinion until yesterday, and this whole Hong Kong China thing came about, and he was kept away from media yesterday. Trust me, he knows where his Supermax bread is buttered. It's not here. It's in Beijing.
Yeah, no, the whole NBA world ball gagged on the China thing. Kind of embarrassing, but
on Verlander, I thought the Astros were one of the teams that were at the forefront
yes.
of this analytics.
Yes, they are.
So, like, you know, let's not. I mean, humans are always going to get in the way,
and that's more entertaining.
But that's the
one human outsmarting another human, or a human making a mistake. That is why we watch.
I mean, to me, that's the competition,
not to see who has the better algorithm.
Exactly. Exactly.
So doesn't this bubble have to burst, though? I mean, this is the year that in baseball that I can remember where home runs became boring. The game is now home runs, strikeouts, and
walks.
And nerd stats and walks.
Three true outcomes.
And it's going, and if it hasn't already, it's affecting the attendance, and it's going to affect the TV ratings. So if people start going away, don't they have to change this?
You would think so, Murray, but again, the game is so stubborn. They're so steeped in the tradition and the, you know, the history
of it. And the players have so much power, and they don't want to change anything.
Oh, God, it's ridiculous. And look, to your point, right, about the what the game has become on the field. What was the best? I don't know if you watch any of it. What was the best play in that game last night?
So the best play, I just saw snippets of it.
The relay.
Okay, so Yeah.
That was the relay. The ball hit to right center field. Altuve's busting it off of first base. Kiermaier gets it, fires a strike to Adames, I think it was, right? Who then threw an absolute freaking bullet to the plate that split the plate in half. It was such a great throw.
It was textbook is what it was.
It was.
Thing.
You couldn't execute it any better than that. And Altuve can fly. He's fast. And he made a good slide, and they still got him out. Because it was perfect. The play was perfect, and it was a baseball play. It wasn't some stupid-ass algorithm of how to, you know, throw what to throw in what situation. The whole thing, it was a great play all the way around to the point where you could say Houston didn't screw up. They made him make like a literally 1% play to get him out at the plate, and they made the 1% play.
Okay, your calls, Celtics Minute, and information on tickets.
Rick Porcello threw too many two-seam fastballs, which is why his ERA was up. When he used his four-seam fastball, his ERA went down 30%. Purcell blow Adam Jones.
More from Carmen and information on how you can win Patriots tickets. Don't go anywhere.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There are different kinds of questions, Steve. I think that last year's questions were more based on, you know, how was it going to gel? Like, there was not a question of how much talent we had. This year, the question is, you know, are we good enough? And, you know, can players step up and take advantage of the opportunities that they're given to become more elite?
That was an interesting comment by Danny Ainge last weekend. This year's question is, are we good enough? What'd you make of that?
Oh, I think he can't help but be honest. I think he knows they're short on, you know, elite talent.
Oh, he'd so much rather have a team that you don't question the talent, but you question the makeup, because he doesn't care. He's just about the talent.
Right, because he knows also in that league you can't win without the talent.
But it's surprising, but you also can't win if you have a bunch of a-holes.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. At some point, there has to be some level of character. I don't know if chemistry is as important. It's
don't
not.
You need the a-hole who cares about winning? So Kobe cared about winning.
Right, exactly.
Kyrie Irving did not care about winning.
So this is why I go character, not chemistry. Chemistry is we get along. You don't have to get along. But you have to care. You have to care more about winning than anything. And so if you've got a talented player who doesn't care about winning with you, like Kyrie didn't care about winning with you. So it doesn't matter the talent. I don't think Danny Ainge. In other words, let me put it to you this way. I don't think Danny Ainge really learned his lesson last year. In other words, he'd go back and do it all over again.
Oh, I think there's a lot of truth to that.
And so would all you. Or not all you. So would a lot of you, which blows me away. It didn't work. So why would you not take from that?
Because I think that in that sport, the talent is mandatory. It's mandatory. You can't win without it. And so you can have a good team that has character and competitiveness and makeup, but they won't win the championship. To win the championship, you got to have the talent.
And you can have talent, and if you have a bunch of a-holes on the team, if it's Carmelo Anthony and Kyrie Irving and James Harden, where are you going to go with that? So you got to have some of the other thing, too. And I still think Danny Ainge doesn't pay any attention to it. And that's a failing. And that was a failing on the team last year, and I still don't know if he gets it.
So you're not wrong, but I do think that one is absolutely mandatory. The other one is...
I mean, the Kobe Shaq Lakers had no chemistry. They hate each other to this day. They're
exactly.
Still snipping at each other. But, you know, Kobe's competitiveness, the character, was through the roof.
Sure, yeah. I would also tell you that I would use that as a case of see the talent means more. the talent means more because at the end of the now look, talent without heart is useless.
No, so what I'm telling you is it's heart. It's not your chemistry. It's your heart.
Yeah, and you know, Kyrie didn't have it. I mean, he didn't have it. But I think Ainge knows, like when you hear a comment like that, he's telling you we're not good enough.
Do you agree?
Yep. Now the you say then why leave the doubt? And I would say he's leaving the wiggle room in case Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown turns into some superstar that nobody saw coming. That all of a sudden, like, whoa, here we go. Now we're on to something. And so, but that's what they're banking on. They're banking on somebody taking a developmental step or jump that they did not foresee, at least now. Maybe they see Tatum as being something else in 3 years. But they don't expect it now. And if he takes a jump now, and then maybe they make a little noise.
Who does have the talent in the East?
I would argue, I still think Milwaukee.
Yeah, me too.
Because they get the best player.
Okay. Who else?
I'm not sure there is anyone else.
Philly.
Philly, maybe. Didn't Simmons make a three-pointer last night?
No, yeah. He shot one?
He did,
he made one, yeah.
And the place went nuts. Like, you know, they just won the title. It was hysterical.
Still doesn't count, though.
Yeah. So like, you know, in a lot of ways, Philly's kind of like the Celtics, except they're...
So Philly might have more... Might? I don't know. I think... Does Ben Simmons count as talent?
Yes.
I mean, again, it's like a novelty act when he shoots a three-pointer. I think I'm the most overrated guys in the NBA.
But there's upside there, right?
Is there?
Yeah.
Is he going to learn to shoot?
I mean, some guys learn how to shoot.
Okay, from that far to go?
Okay, so I agree that it's a huge... I mean, I didn't realize he was that bad.
And there's a streak of softness in Embiid, but he's still better than any player the Celtics have.
I mean, when he wants to play, force. Right? Force.
Embiid you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I have questions about Philly, too. I think, you know, Redick is a big loss. Like, you know, they could use shooters around some of those guys. But, you know, they get a chance, too. If we're going to say if someone in the Celtics takes a jump, what if Simmons takes a jump? I mean, then everything changes.
I thought Ainge had an interesting comment on Gordon Hayward. You know, all this offseason pub for Gordon Hayward. It's unbelievable how much you folks like to talk and pump the tires of Gordon Hayward when he's not playing basketball. It's just incessant. But so there was more offseason Gordon Hayward hype for the Celtics. Felt like Danny Ainge was leery of it. Give me that comment.
So I think right now there's been a lot of buzz about Gordon and his comeback, and I'm worried that, you know, like it's getting a little out of hand. You know, like I think he's Gordon. You know, he's back to being Gordon, and we're very excited about that. I just don't like... I sometimes worry, like, oh my gosh, they think that it's...
That he's good again?
Somebody else.
No, what I don't understand what Ainge is getting at. What, people want him to be good again?
No, people are going to, you know...
He was an all-star. He was an all-NBA. So they want him to be that? Like, we think, oh my God, hopefully they don't think he's an all-NBA, because he's not.
Yeah, he's not Kawhi Leonard, is what Ainge is telling you. So that's how I take it, is that he's saying, yeah, Gordon's a good player. You know, we gave him a max contract, but he's not Kawhi Leonard.
But he's not a max player? Like, I don't know.
I think that's basically what he's saying. Yeah. I mean, I think. I don't know. I mean, you know, it feels that way to me. Like, he's saying, look, he's a good player, but he's not one of the top five players in the league.
Okay, we're giving away Patriots tickets today at 4:30, except they've been stolen, Murray? Help me again. What are we doing?
They've been stolen. And we heard someone call into the hotline earlier referring to themselves as a fugitive. It ain't right. I mean, we had these tickets to give away. They're a tough ticket. Every Patriots home game is, and they're gone. This person took the... Look at this. The hotline's ringing again. The Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Sports Hub.
I've got a pair of tickets. Hey, Felger and Spaz and Flash Boy Little Jim.
Come on.
It's me again. What happened to those tickets you're supposed to give away?
Yeah.
That's right, they're mine now.
Oh.
And I do what I want with them. Like giving them away at 4:30 to the first person who can call the contest line and say,
what?
I found the Felger and Maz 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots ticket fugitive. Got that?
What a devious scoundrel this fugitive is. That he's going to give away, or she is giving away, our tickets. We need to get better security around here. They got stolen from the PD's office last night. So a big hint there, though. At 4:30, you need to call and say...
What do you have to say?
I found the Felger and Maz 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots ticket fugitive. Boy, that's a mouthful, but that's what you got to say to win the tickets, apparently.
But we'll take something close.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found the fugitive that called in to Felger and Maz for the Pats tickets.
Unbelievable. I can't believe this has happened. I don't know how the other tickets didn't get stolen, but ours did. It's not right. It's not right. They're not going to get away with this.
Okay, so that's what we're doing today.
I think the fugitive should be a regular.
I mean, I still don't, honestly, I don't kind of get it, but that's okay. Your thoughts on everything from the first hour, Bruins.
I found the Felger and Mays, 98.5, the Sports Hub, Patriots ticket fugitive.
Carmine Wangan, how do you feel about the Red Sox and baseball being taken over by robots, which is not even really that much of a stretch of what I'm saying there, taken over by robots?
It's great.
The Bruins showing a little hair on their balls here in the first week of the season, surprisingly. Any Celtics thought?
Amazing.
Giving you just a little Patriots NFL breather, which, believe me, we will get to, but we'll get to your phones. There's a couple open lines at 617-779-0985. To you after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Call now.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special event disclosures for full details.